So last night on Brian Williams on the 11th Hour, retired Lieutenant General Russell Onore made the point that there is more to this domestic terrorism of the Capitol than meets the eye. Have a listen.
I was surprised that the Pentagon did not have those troops on standby. The FBI had a major failure in their intelligence, obviously by those offering the Capitol Police help, and they refused it. I think once this all get uncovered, there was some complicit actions at the Capitol Police. A police chief has been fired, but now we need to look at a special investigation. Was he complicit along with the Sergeant of Arms in the House and the Senate? It gives appearance of complicity. They complied because they might have thought 45 was coming to the Capitol, and they gave way to the protesters who easily breached.
Did you notice where he said it gives the appearance of complicity? And he talked about a failure in FBI intelligence. But folks, Trump talked about, you know, a wild time in D.C. He talked about, you know, come to D.C. on numerous occasions, you know, for the protest. So how could there have been, I mean, literally, how could there have been a failure in intelligence? I mean, that's an understatement, really. But have a listen to what Brian Williams added in this clip right here.
Issued on January 4 and 5, the Pentagon prohibited the district's guardsmen from receiving ammunition or riot gear, interacting with protesters unless necessary for self-defense, sharing equipment with local law enforcement, or using guard surveillance and air assets without the defense secretary's explicit sign-off, according to officials familiar with the orders. And General, I think we know each other pretty well. I am not a conspiracy theorist either. And yet, reading the tea leaves here, you would think that some kind of a fix was in.
It was complicit.
So in that article that Brian's referring to from the Washington Post, it said, in memos issued January 4th and 5th, the Pentagon prohibited D.C.'s guardsmen from receiving ammo or riot gear and interacting with protesters unless for self-defense. It also prevented sharing equipment with local law enforcement or using air assets without the defense secretary's sign-off. So why wouldn't they allow sharing equipment with local law enforcement? It sounds like there's a lot of control that came down from the Pentagon with respect to this protest, specifically to this protest that the president was holding, the president's protest. It sure sounds like the siege of the Capitol, folks, was enabled by Donald Trump. I mean, literally enabled, especially when you hear the accounts of some of the Capitol Hill police posing for selfies. Really? And then some of the Capitol police offered directions to rioters to find Chuck Schumer's office. Oh yeah, you just go up the elevator and it's all the way. What the hell happened? Who's in charge? So the article goes on to say that the D.C. Guard was also told it would be allowed to deploy a quick reaction force only as a measure of last resort in that same article. And that is according to officials that are familiar with the orders. The article says that the Capitol Police, who protect the House and Senate, had not requested help from the Guard ahead of the events by Wednesday afternoon. The chief made an urgent plea for backup from 200 troops during a call with top Pentagon and city officials, the article goes on to say. And on the call, Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sun was asked whether he needed help from the National Guard, and he said yes at that point. Then there was a long pause. And an official from the office of the secretary, it says, said that that was not going to be possible. That was not going to be possible. They did not want the optics of soldiers inside the Capitol during the president's protest. They didn't want the optics. So literally, folks, the Pentagon fiddle-farted around here for 3 hours before actually calling the National Guard to control the riots. The article also noted that the president's power over the D.C. Guard is delegated to the defense secretary and then to the army secretary. So it really does look like, folks, that Trump loyalists, whether in the Capitol Police, the House Sergeant-at-Arms, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, they were complicit in allowing Trump rioters to overrun the Capitol. The investigation that's going to happen will undoubtedly uncover the truth. Undoubtedly. But there's more to the firings of the Capitol Police Chief, the House Sergeant-at-Arms, and the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms than meets the eye. I mean, it just doesn't meet the smell test at this point in time. And don't forget, folks, remember the back during the protest in the summer, like right around June, I think it was, in D.C., Trump ordered a mass military response to those protests, racial protests in the nation's capital. Huge military response. We had helicopters flying over the protesters, extremely low. Low-flying helicopters. We had surveillance assets up there as well that hovered above the city. I mean, a massive presence. And not only that, but then he deployed tear gas for his photo opportunity in front of the church, holding the Bible, of course. Of course. Meanwhile, two members of Trump's cabinet folks have resigned, looking like there is nobody willing to invoke the 25th Amendment. Nobody really wants to take the charge here. Nobody has the spine to do it. Looks like they're just folding. And as for presidential pardons, one reason why we probably haven't seen Donald Trump pardon himself could be this. The Biden Attorney General, who is Merrick Garland, would be more inclined to investigate Trump because of the argument that Trump is not above the law. And if he were to self-pardon himself, that would certainly invite the new Attorney General to challenge that point explicitly for that reason. Nobody is above the law. So if he pardons himself, you can rest assured that Merrick Garland is going to swoop down on that. But you can't send a signal like that to the American people that the president can do whatever he wants and then pardon himself. And without doing that self-pardon, actually Donald Trump would be better served if he were to resign and then have Mike Pence pardon him. But the caveat here is Mike Pence is pretty upset with Donald Trump right now. And if Trump did resign, I mean, Pence might not pardon him. I mean, do you think Trump trusts anybody at this stage? And reports are that he's literally holed up in the White House with very few staff around him. Stephen Miller's still there, of course. Stephen Miller, last one to leave with the president. But do you think that if Donald Trump were to resign, do you think that Mike Pence would actually step forward and offer him a pardon? I don't think so. So that could be why we haven't seen him pardon himself. So the saga continues, folks. Till next time, thanks for joining.